Sunday the 26th of November 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Rivers of Love. Sermon title, River of Life. Bible reading, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. Talk by Reverend Martin Court. To put Martin's opening remarks into context, I should explain that following the Bible reading, his talk was prefaced by a movie clip of the railway station sequence from the first Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. This clip has not been included in this recording for reasons of copyright and continuity. Now it's over to Manny with our Bible reading.
The reading is taken from Revelations 22, verses 1 to 7, the River of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down to the middle of a great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Jesus is coming. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Thanks be to God."
That's it. The bishop will throw me out now. I feel very sure. I don't know why people get all excited about Harry Potter and whether you can watch it or not. It always baffles me that. Where are they off to? Hogwarts. That's the question that we're going to be asking today. Where are we off to? They're off to Hogwarts. And Hogwarts is a magical, mystical place where the supernatural happens and where good overcomes evil. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And people get all hot under the collar about it. I'm not quite sure. I wonder if it's because we don't like to think of ourselves as being in a spiritual battle. And when it's confronted to us in film, it makes us a little bit uneasy. We had and there are lots of films that do it. We had The Matrix, we were talking about last week. Chronicles of Narnia are a deliberate attempt to rewrite the Bible. There's no question about that. C.S. Lewis was quite open about that. They're off to Hogwarts. And the question for us is, where are we off to? Because Harry didn't really know. And I wonder if you really know. Where are you going in life? And you may be here this morning for the first time and you're not a Christian. But the fact is you've come into a church. And I think that there is something that we inherently know about church, and that church believes in something after this life, an eternity in one form or another. And so, I mean, I think that we're a bit like Harry and Hermione and Ron and all the others in Harry Potter, because we kind of know that there's something coming, but we're not sure what it looks like. We're not sure what we're going to be doing when we get there. And we're just given glimpses in this book that we call the Bible. And God says that it's good enough. Those glimpses are good enough for us. He hasn't even given us a trilogy. Just one book. I think J.K. Rowling is up to about 8 Harry Potters now, isn't she? Something like that. It must be difficult making all that money out of a book, but there we are. God says one book is good enough. And he says this, "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of prophecy in this book. Blessed is he and she who join the dots up that start in the book of Genesis and end in the book of Revelation. Blessed is he and she who understand a little bit. And we won't understand fully. Paul said that, didn't he? We can know in part, but we can't know fully yet. We can see a little bit, but we can't see fully. And it all comes back to my dear old mum, who had a saying for me every time I got caught doing something naughty. And I know that you're thinking straight away, Martin, you're such an angel, you wouldn't have done anything naughty. My halo is just there. But every now and again, it did used to slip once or twice in my younger years. You know what she used to say to me? Martin, what comes around, what goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. Mum will always catch you out because mum's know best. What goes around comes around. What is it in the Bible that goes around? Well, what goes around is the book of Genesis, isn't it? And then what comes around is the book of Revelation. God's holy city coming down out of heaven from God, beautifully dressed as a bride for her husband. The start and the finish, the beginning and the end, the first book in the Bible, the last book in the Bible, telling us that in the beginning everything was perfect. Everything was just as God wanted it to be. And at the end, everything is going to be perfect. Everything is going to be just as God wants it to be. We've just got to get through this middle bit, if we can. And you remember that the Garden of Eden had a wonderful river flowing out of it, the river of God that flowed from it. Genesis 2 and verse 10, a river flows out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it divides and becomes four rivers. Four. Any quizzes amongst us? Anybody out there good at quizzes? Anybody want to have a go at the names of the four rivers? Tigris, Euphrates. What are the pointless ones? Yeah, look at that. Well done. Pishon and Gihon, or however you want to pronounce that. And that first river flowed out from Eden to water the garden. Without water, we die. And so really it is the river of life as well as the river of love. Creative, life-sustaining, flowing out. Dividing until it becomes like a blood vessel all the way around, this map of blood vessels all the way around the globe. We're going to come back to blood vessels in a minute, but so that the whole world is sustained by the river of God, this river flowing with everything that we'll ever need, until there's life everywhere, until there's abundance everywhere, God's love spread everywhere through this river that flows out of Eden. Anyone here watch Bear Grylls and all his survival stuff? I know I've said it before, it always flummoxes me. Who's going to call their son Bear? Isn't that straight? Is it just me? Tiger. I wonder if I called SJ Hamster or Duck or something. I wonder what he'd make of that. Anyway, Bear Grylls, Bear, I love it. Survival, this is humanity overcoming the natural world. It's manly stuff. It reconnects us with the caveman, doesn't it? I think Mrs. Court thinks that she still lives with a caveman. Well, now she's got two. I know SJ, goodness me, plates and rubbish in his... Anyway, there we go. And I love some of Bear Grylls' quirky sayings, quirky thinking. He thinks differently, doesn't he? And so he'll take belly button fluff and he'll weave it into a strong cord to string up a hammock with or something. Or he'll take the ladder out of your tights, ladies, and use it to climb out of a pit or something like that. I'm only joking, obviously. But I do love his quirky sayings and his quirky thinking. And I don't know if you've watched that thing where they dump people on an island and they've got to survive. Have you seen that one? One of the things he says is this: rainwater is pure enough to drink until it hits the ground. Have you heard him say that? Rainwater is pure enough to drink until it hits the ground. Why is that? Because the ground is contaminated. We know that. This world is not as it should be. But what goes around comes around. We brought sin. We brought that contamination. But God is a good God. He is a loving God, and he's not going to make something, go to the trouble of creating creation with all its marvel and its wonder, and let us muck it up and then just walk away. He's not going to do that. As long as the earth endures, this is the book of Genesis, as long as the earth endures, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day, they will never cease. They will never cease. That's what God said to Noah. God loves us way too much to walk away from us. That's why we get the cross of Jesus Christ, of course. For God so loved the world, the cross of Christ is for now, to bring forgiveness, to bring healing, to bring restoration to us now. But it's also the sign of the final victory of God. It says that in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it talks about this river, and I think it's the same river. I think it's the river that was flowing in the beginning. And here it is again flowing in the end. Because what comes round goes round. The angels showed me this river, the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street in the city of God. And on either side of this river is a tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month, on and on and on and on. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found in it. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night, no more darkness anywhere. For they will need no light of a lamp or of the sun, for God will be their light, and they will reign with God forever and ever and ever and ever. That's you and me. What a wonderful, wonderful picture that is. He who started a good work in you will bring it to completion. Isn't that what Paul said? That he who set the world going in perfection will bring it back again to perfection. No more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things, this life, we are living in the old order of things. It's going to get swept away. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, new Jerusalem. It started pure, it's going to end pure. Because what goes round comes round. Three things, very hopefully, if I don't talk too long this week. Three things on the river of life that we're told about in the book of Revelation. And the first is this: the river is going to resource us forever. Forever. So talking about blood vessels. Blood is a funny thing, isn't it? Anybody here give blood? Any blood donors amongst us? Yeah, one or two. Let's give them a round of applause. Well done, the blood donors. Bless you all. Well done. Anybody here fall over at the sight of blood? Any sissies amongst you? Yeah, I am as well. You can't help it, can you? I think we've got this inherent thing, inherent understanding, that blood should be on the inside, shouldn't it? So when we see it spilt on the floor or being sucked out by a syringe, ooh, no, it's not nice. It's all a bit queasy. Here are some things that you may or may not know about blood, and we're just going to whiz through them. Bang them up there, Colin. So blood is not blue. That's just the light playing tricks on us. There are 30 recognised blood groups. 30. Hewlett-Packard's black ink is more expensive per milliliter than blood. Isn't that amazing? Blood saves lives, and Hewlett-Packard charge more. Goodness me. We have 100,000 miles of blood vessels in our body. And it takes just 30 seconds for one blood cell to whiz all the way around the circuit. That's amazing, isn't it? It would take 1.2 million mosquitoes to suck all of your blood out. And I've got another interesting fact that goes along with that. I can tell you that the mosquitoes that suck your blood out are all female. Men, we knew that, didn't we? We could have guessed that one. You've got 8 pints of blood in you, but a newborn baby has only got 1 cup of blood. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? All that blood coursing around our bodies. Your heart pumps 1.2 million barrels of blood around your body if you live to 90 years old. And it's our blood that sustains us, isn't it? It's our blood that brings our nutrients, carries the oxygen to our cells, gets rid of the rubbish like a massive conveyor belt. It brings all the good stuff in and takes all the bad stuff out. Marvellous. Whether we like to see it or not. Here's the thing. If you did have 1.2 million mosquitoes on you, firstly, that would be the worst day of anybody's life, wouldn't it? That would be the unluckiest person alive. But secondly, it would very, very quickly be the unluckiest person dead. Because we need our blood. If the mosquitoes suck it all out, we're going to die. It's our life source, but only for today, says the book of Revelation. Only for today. When Israel were wandering in the desert, they went through all sorts of hardships, you remember. And one of those things was that they didn't have any food. They were starving. And they cried out to God. And as Jeremy reminded us in our prayers of intercession, God hears our cries. And he heard their cry. And he said, I'm going to give you some stuff called manna. This flaky bread-like substance that came as dew every morning and settled on the ground. And it says this in Exodus 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Just enough for that day. This is the bread of life. This is what's going to sustain them. But God knew and still knows that true life only comes from him sustaining us. This is a temporary thing. This manna in the desert is just temporary. And really what was happening was that God was simply sustaining them with this manna until they got to the promised land. Because it's in the promised land where it's flowing with milk and honey, isn't it? Friends, our blood is like that manna. We've got enough for today, enough to sustain us now in the here and the now. However long our life is, doesn't matter, a few minutes or 100 years. What matters is our blood is like the manna. It gets us to the promised land, but when we get to the promised land, we won't need it anymore because it's going to be so much better. The manna was never meant to be the food of eternity. The food of eternity is called a banquet prepared for all mankind. Manna isn't a banquet. And I'll break it to you gently, but your blood is not meant to be the thing that will sustain you in eternity either. That's going to be the river of God. The river that came forth and brought abundance and life in the Garden of Eden, the same river that will flow through the city of God, bringing life to the trees of life, who in turn produce their fruit. And of course, we're going to have the fruit. An unending supply of all that is good. I wonder if you saw that in the reading. Nothing accursed will be there. We'll be resourced with everything that is good, everything that is true, everything that is holy, everything that is pure by the river of God, the water of life. And the river of God will bring life, the power of heaven will give life miraculously to you and to me for all of eternity. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. There is a spiritual battle going on, and the winner is Jesus Christ. And my friends, by the time we get to the middle of the book of Revelation, we're no longer in the realms of flesh and blood. We're no longer in the realms of this skin. It's going to be renewed. It's going to be replaced. And you and I will not stand on the death of this mortal flesh that we're in now. We're going to stand on the new life that comes through the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Risen, exalted, victor over all, over evil, over everything, over darkness. Over everything. Hallelujah and amen to that. The river of God is what will resource us and sustain us for eternity. Number two, and a completely different thing altogether, we're in it together. We're in it together. Anybody know who these guys are? Yeah. I tried to find a really obscure picture, but it's the guy with the hair, isn't it? Yeah, he's a bit obvious to us. Diversity, starring at the London Palladium this year in Dick Whittington, just for your information, if anybody wants to know and get along there, it'd be good fun. Folks, God loves diversity. I mean, they're not a bad dance, but obviously I don't mean that diversity. I mean diversity. God loves diversity. He loves trees and birds and fish and flowers and amazing creation, but he also loves our diversity. He loves black and white. He loves young and old. He loves rich and poor. He loves Australians and Africans. He even loves the Welsh. I mean, obviously, you can't understand them. They speak gibberish, don't they? It's very strange. But they're very friendly, the Welsh. They're very friendly. We've been going to Wales very, very much recently over the last few weeks. We've been in Bangor and Aberystwyth. You know, when you go into a town in Wales, they've got the big, Aberystwyth written up in big letters. And then underneath, they've got the Wi-Fi code. That's fantastic. I'm only joking. No, but they are great. They're lovely, lovely, lovely people. God loves diversity. He loves our differences. But he also knows that he's given us choice. He's given us independence, if we want it, from each other and even from him. It's madness, and I don't know why he did it, but that's what he's done. And so our choices can cause clashes that God didn't mean for us to have. greed, selfishness, all of that. And so what happened was God raised up a nation, Israel. And he said, I want you to be a blessing to the other nations, didn't he? I will make you into a great nation, Genesis 12, and I will bless you, make your name great, la-di-da-di-diddly-day, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And they started so well, but they went their own way. And by the time we get past Christmas, by the time we get to Emmanuel and the crib and the manger and Mary and Joseph and all of that, Jesus being born, they're preventing people from coming into heaven. They're being selective. There's no selection in Jesus' love. I mean, only by faith in Jesus, you're in. That's it. It's as easy as that. And so Jesus comes and he walks this earth and he says this, woe to you experts of the law, for you have taken away the key of knowledge and you are not going to go in yourselves and you are preventing other people from going in. God is devastated when we make our church insular, when we get proud and conceited, because Pentecost was for everyone. The Holy Spirit is for anyone who will reach out to him. Israel were meant to bless all nations, but they failed in that mission. And so when Jesus Christ walked the earth, he included it in his manifesto. That's because it's such a priority in heaven. He couldn't be silent about it because he wants us to stand shoulder to shoulder with each other. And that means, I think, that it should be a priority for us here on earth too. And by God's grace, we don't do too badly at it here at St. Chad's, but we could always do better. And certainly our world could do better. And so Jesus came and he preached parables about hated nations, you remember? And he made them the heroes. Last week he took time out at a well with a Samaritan woman. How crazy is that? God's heart knows no division. And it must make his head spin to see how we use race and creed and colour to play one-upmanship with each other. Jesus never barred anyone with a sincere heart and an emptiness that he could fill. And that's what he expects of you and of me. Martin Luther stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. and he declared to the world, I've got a dream, I've had a dream, a vision. And it's a vision from God, a vision of a world without prejudice, a vision of a world where anyone can and will stand in harmony with everyone else. And friends, that comes straight from God. And we can go some way towards it today, and I believe that as a church and as members of this church, we must strive for that. But I believe this too, that vision is only going to fully come to fruition right across the globe when God calls time, when Jesus comes again, when the river of God flows and the tree of life bears its fruit, because that is when we're told that the leaves of those trees of life are going to be used for the healing of the nations. And the cross of Christ has already started that healing. And as I say, it's for Christ's church, for you and for me to carry it forward as a banner. But ultimately the Creator will order his creation with love and healing from heaven. The old order of things will be swept away and humanity will no longer reign, nor will the devil. Only God will reign. And we will gather together as one, bound in his glorious love. And then lastly is a question, what must we do? What must we do? We must wait on him. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of prophecy in this book. Blessed is he and she who keep the faith. Blessed are those who welcome the Holy Spirit to come and kindle hope in their hearts. We're not there yet. Friends, bad things still happen in the world. We know that. And the book of Revelation tells us that God knows that too. But it also tells us that he's gone before us. To prepare a place for us, Jesus said. There's a wonderful verse in one of King David's Psalms. I don't know what he was doing. He's written Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the world. He must have done it for a dare or a bet or he was getting sponsored. So I'm not sure why he did it. 176 verses. Goodness me. But in the middle of it, he writes this. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because this world is dark. Because even the lightest thing in this world gives us no light at all. Because the light of God is not here yet. And whilst we live without the light of God in its true form, so we must live with the Word of God to be a light to reveal our path forward. The only glimpse of life that we have in this life. And our reading today tells us that God's light is coming. And it will be more than we need, more light than we have ever experienced. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. And then the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspired the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants that these things will soon take place." For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, will have eternal life. And friends, there's this river that flows from heaven. And it's a river that flowed at the beginning. In the beginning, God created, and the river was there flowing, bringing abundance, bringing creation, bringing new life. And it's going to be the same river at the end. And it's going to be our life. It'll resource us as our flesh and our blood pass away. So we will be held in the glories of God's river, in abundance, in creation, in new life, in transformation, in healing and in wholeness. And it'll be a wonderful, wonderful place. And we'll all come together, we'll gather together, and we'll sing praises to the Lord. Amen.